Like what I mentioned earlier, I'm going to continue the mini-series that I've started in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning, the title of my preaching is Grounded in the Gospel. Grounded in the Gospel, and this is taken from chapter 6, verse 15 of the book of Ephesians. When you think of cruelty, more often we think of terrorism. We think of human trafficking. We think of parents who abuse their children. We think of cruelty as the spouses who inflict harm and pain to their partners, governments who oppresses their own people, countries who invades other countries, and we think of cruelty such as persecutions because of someone's faith, and so on and so forth. But the question I would like to ask each one this morning is this: have you ever considered that heresy is one of the worst forms of cruelty? Whether the Christendom realizes or not, heresy destroys the lives of people for time and for eternity. I'd like to quote what John MacArthur said. Sabi niya po, "Nothing is more wicked than for someone who claimed to speak for God to the salvation of souls, when in reality he speaks for Satan to the damnation of souls." Sabi niya po, mga kapatid. My friends, those who peddle heresy are the embodiment of evil, and it is the highest form of cruelty that can be inflicted to humanity. Why? Because heresy deceives people to follow a way that goes directly to the eternal horrors of hell. And today, as we continue our mini-series on this book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, which we entitled The Full Armor of God, we will be looking at the second armor found in verse 15. And let me just read that. Verse 15 po ng chapter 6 of Ephesians. "And having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace." But before we proceed, let me just do a quick review of what we have discussed so far. In case you have not heard my two previous preachings, kindly visit our GLCC webpage or website and check. Last December, I preached on Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, and I have entitled that preaching, "Fighting Battles Wisely." And we said last time that the effectivity of our Christian life depends greatly on how we choose our battles. And in order to fight our battles with wisdom, we are commanded by Paul in this letter first to know the situation that we are in, and that is in verse 10 to 11. Let me just read that. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. We have said last time that the moment we got saved in the Lord, we are automatically enlisted to fight in God's army. And then in verse 12, we are commanded to know who is our real enemy. Let me just read verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, my dear friends, our real battle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, our enemy is not our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, people who persecute us, but against a spiritual army that is so organized and established into ranks and is under, of course, the headship of no other than Satan himself, who comes against us. And they have this one and only goal. What is that? To bring the Christian down from their place of standing. And then in verse 13, we are commanded to know the weapons at our disposal when we engage the enemy in this. In verse 13, let me just read that. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Yes, my dear friends, evil day will come in our life as believers. Sabi niya po doon, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. We said last time that you and I should be humble enough not to lean on our own strength and be aware of our inclination, our propensity towards sin, so that you will be on guard when the enemy engages you. And yes, the good news is this, that we have the full armor of God, and this is our weapon when we engage the enemy in this warfare. And then, last February, we looked at the first weapon that we must use from the whole armor of God. And it's in verse 14 of chapter 6. Let me just read that. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the title of that preaching is Truth Matters. Okay? And we said there that as we stand firm in our battles against the spiritual forces that threatens and maligns the fundamentals of Christian faith, we are commanded to fight. We are commanded to fight for truth, with truth. And that is found in the first part of verse 14. And then we are commanded as well to exemplify, to live out the righteousness that is in us. Okay? And we ended up by concluding that the assault on biblical truths and the battering of the fundamentals of Christian faith is raging. Even as we speak, mga kapatid, Satan, his cohorts, the cults, the pseudo-Christianity, the beguiled, will intensify the attacks as we approach eternity. And we know that many have succumbed and have fallen away from the faith. That's why, ito po ang panawagan sa atin, to contend earnestly for the faith. And to be able to do that in a practical sense, sabi po natin last time, we need to build up ourselves in the faith. What do I mean by that? We need to get serious in our spiritual discipline, like prayer, reading the Bible, applying the Bible, meditating, studying the Bible. We need to get serious on that. And then we continue to pray fervently in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be fervently consistent in our prayer lives, both in personal and corporate. And then in a practical sense, for us to contend earnestly for the faith, we have to live by obedience. We have to live by faith. Be an engaged member of our church. And then lastly, we said, in order for us to contend earnestly for the faith, we live with expectancy. We wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with hope, with so much expectancy. As if you plan your life for the next 100 years, but live as if Christ is coming tonight. Yan po ang ibig kong sabihin ng wait with hope. I will not dwell now on the background of the book of Ephesians since I already dealt with that in the first preaching. But just a quick reminder. We know that Paul structured this message on the idea that the objective truth of our salvation in Christ is the foundation for living our lives in righteousness as believers. The first three chapters of this letter describes what God did for us when He saved us in Christ before even the foundation of the world, kagaya po ng inawit natin kanina. You see, we are recipients of God's lavish grace of redemption. And because of this, the last three chapters of this letter spells out how we should live in the light of these glorious truths. Okay, yan po ang book of Ephesians. So let's go now to the second weapon that we must use from the whole armor of God. Yan po yung message po natin, grounded in the gospel. Okay? So basahin po natin uli ang verse 15. And having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yan po ay dun sa NASB version. And then I try to look how this is written in some other versions. Sa ESB po, ang sabi niya po, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Sabi din po sa New King James, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, when you try to study a particular verse, it really helps a lot when you try to read, okay, different versions. Kasi it expands po yung inyong understanding kung paano po nirender sa different version yung pong particular verse na pinag-aaralan po ninyo. Okay? Now, just to put us into context, I want us to be reminded that when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he was tied or he was guarded by a Roman soldier. And he is using its armor as an analogy to make it more understandable to his readers. So here he is looking at the soldier's shoes in coming up with this insightful message regarding the gospel of peace. Okay po? My dear friends, during Paul's time, it is a common practice in war that soldiers put sharp spikes beneath the surface of the ground. Naglalagay po sila ng spikes doon and they covered them with dirt as well as leaves to conceal them. Kasi nung panahon po nila, wala pang mga landmines Okay? So yun po yung kanilang ginagawa. And the aim of these spikes is to wound, to debilitate incoming enemy soldiers so that they will not be able to wage a good fighting stance. So yun po yung purpose ng mga concealed spikes na yun. That's why during their time, they wear good boots or shoes or sandals to that effect, capable of withstanding the penetration of those hidden spikes. Okay? Bakit po? Kasi, soldier could be fully armored, but if his feet is hurt, he cannot walk. Di ba? Much more to march or to fight. So, to them, it is very critical to wear protective rugged shoes. Otherwise, they are in for a sure defeat. At ito po yung ginamit ni Apostle Paul as an analogy when he said, dun po sa verse 15, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So here, Paul is essentially telling his readers, no one can engage in fight effectively or go about effectively in his endeavors without a proper gear. Alam po natin yan. Yung po mga mahihilig sa atin sa sports dito, kailangan mo pong gamitin ang proper shoes. Di ho ba? When you play basketball, you cannot use a bowling shoes when you play basketball. Di ho ba? When you do cycling shoes. Or when you play soccer, you use soccer shoes. Otherwise, you will not be able to compete effectively. Baka ma-injured ka pa. So ito po yung sinasabi sa atin dito ni Apostle Paul. And also, these Roman soldiers, okay, use sturdy boots with spikes at the bottom to establish firm footing when they fight. At ito po yung reference po ni Apostle Paul when he said in verse 14, standing firm. Okay? Sabi po ng isang scholar, sabi niya po, Josephus described them as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails so as to ensure a good grip. The military success both of Alexander the Great and of Julius Caesar were due in large measure to their armies because being well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over rough terrain. So yan po yung mga soldiers during that time. Ano po ang implication nito, mga kapatid? Ang implication po nito ay ito. Even if you are fully armed, even if you're strong, no, as a soldier, if you have a wounded feet, you will be an easy prey for the enemy. So, yan po yung analogy na ginamit po ni Paul dito po sa verse 15. The word preparation in Greek, it means a prepared foundation, a strong base or footing. Yan po yung salitang preparation na ginamit po dyan. Therefore, the context of this verse 15, is that the gospel provides the strong footing for everything that we do as believers. Okay pa po tayo dito? Can you just thumbs up? Ayan, salamat po. Now, while every believer, all of us, is called to always be ready in sharing the gospel, here in verse 15, Paul is saying that we are to stand firm and to fight the faith against the attacks of the enemy. And by doing so, we are to be grounded in the gospel. That is the thesis of this preaching, mga kapatid. We are to be grounded in the gospel. In other words, we will be able to wage war successfully against Satan and his cohorts by using the armor of the gospel of peace. It is our firm foundation, the strong footing that we use as we engage him in spiritual warfare. Kaya nga po, mga kapatid, I cannot overemphasize this. I have mentioned this last time that you and I need to have a good grasp of the gospel, a profound understanding of its elements so we can defend it against any attack. Logically speaking, mga kapatid, the gospel is easy to understand. Di ho ba? Even my 6-year-old son can actually recite the gospel, and I don't know if he understand it. But it's easy, logically speaking, to understand. From young people to the old people, even tribal people can understand it if you present it in a logical way. Di ho ba? Yet we know that the gospel is deep and profound, and it is not simple at all. Jesus and the apostles never used a simple formulaic method in preaching it. In fact, they don't use that similar method over and over again when they preach the gospel, di ho ba? And it is so grand, mga kapatid, so majestic, that requires the miraculous, magnificent work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of man to enable him to appreciate and understand it. Di ho ba? Without the work of the Holy Spirit, none of us here will be saved. Amen po ba? It is the magnificent, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit that enabled us to understand and appreciate the gospel. No other than the work of the God Holy Spirit. Para po maunawaan po natin. And the more we dig deeper to understand it, the more we appreciate its amazing implications and consequences. Let me just review. Okay, gospel. Okay? Pretend that you are unbelievers here. Okay? For us to appreciate the grandeur of the gospel. You see, because of sin, all men will die. Not only with physical death, but also spiritual death. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed for a man to die once, after this comes judgment. And why is that? Because in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. Man die because of sin. And in Romans 3:23, it says all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so what is sin? For you to be able to understand what sin is, you have to go back to the creation. In Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, everything that we see and everything that we don't see is created and sustained by God. Amen? From the vast universe down to the smallest atom that comprises matter is created and sustained by God. And included in his creation is man. And man, according to the Bible, is considered to be the apex, the highest of all his creation, the crowning glory of all his creation. Why? Because man was created according to his own image. Man was given the capacity to think, to decide, and he was given the dominion, the rulership for all that God has created. And God gave them this command. Ano po ang sabi sa kanila? Do not eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because by the time you eat it, you will surely die. And we know, according to the Bible, they were tempted. With the lust of the eyes, they see that the fruit is good. Lust of the flesh, they see that the fruit is good to eat. And then, they were tempted with the pride of life. No, you will not die. You will become like God. And we know the story that they succumbed to that temptation and they disobeyed God's command. So what is sin? Sin is disobedience to God's command. Sin is the transfer of allegiance from God towards his enemy. That is sin. So that's why every time we are tempted to sin, that's what happened. We are transferring our allegiance from God towards his enemy. And because God is holy, his holiness necessitates to punish sin, and the punishment of sin is death, not only physical death, but also with spiritual death. And because God is holy, there is now this abysmal chasm that separates man and God. And hopelessness gripped man, unable to rectify his situation. Shame, corruption, and death ensued to the life of humanity. And no matter what they do, they will never be able to undo, to pay, to rectify their situation before God, because God's standard is holiness. But you see, while God is holy, he is also full of mercy. He is also full of love. He made a remedy. We know this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have an everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son, Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the Son of God, the Holy One of God. He is God. He became man and lived a righteous, sinless life and died on the cross for us as our substitute, so that he can pay the penalty of our sin and satisfy the justice that God requires for our sins. In other words, the Holy One of God became sin so he could bear our sins when he died on that shameful Roman cross, just because he cares for you, just because he is passionately in love with you. His death became the propitiation, ang nagpatahan sa puot ng Diyos sa kasalanan, ang kanya pong kamatayan doon sa cross. And he rose again from the dead after 3 days, because he is God first and foremost, and he has the power to take back his life. And his resurrection from the dead signifies that God accepted the payment that he did for you and for me. Yes, Christ defeated death. He defeated sin. That is the gospel, my dear friends. The good news. Why good news? Because apart from Christ, our future is bleak. It is dark. It is hopeless. So the true repentance and faith in our Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, we can be reconciled with God, not on our own merit, but on the merit of Christ. Yes, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's the gospel. The gospel that brings reconciliation with God. The gospel that brings relationship with God. Relationship that brings eternal life. That's the gospel, mga kapatid. You see, Satan hates the gospel. And he and his cohorts are always attacking it. As early as the New Testament, we see how the apostles vigorously defend the essentials of the gospel from false teachers. Di ho ba? Makikita po natin yan sa kanilang mga sulat sa mga churches. Today, it's even more intense. The gospel is under attack, and we should align ourselves with the ranks of faithful teachers and believers. Tayo po bilang mga mananampalataya to defend the purity of the gospel. Just a very quick check, mga kapatid. Ano-ano po itong mga heresy na ito? No, hindi po too extensive, but just to give you some. Today, there is this gospel that promotes this radical non-lordship salvation. They say that it is possible to believe in Jesus and be saved without committing to Him as Lord. To them, submission is adding work to faith, thus perverting the gospel. But we know that the Bible clearly teaches that genuine saving faith leads to a life of obedience to the Lordship of Christ. Amen po? And then we have this, what we call Christian psychology, which denies the sufficiency of Christ in the gospel. They claim that while you need Christ for salvation, you need more than Him, more than the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, and more than the Bible to deal with your psychological and relationship issues. You need the help of a professional psychotherapist. But we know that the salvific work of Christ on the cross is enough to transform us. It really gave us a new heart, new desires, and the power to overcome sin. Amen po? Today, we have this what we call the secret church movement, where it has softened the offense of the cross to make the gospel more palatable and user-friendly. This movement has applied marketing principles to the church. Try Jesus, He'll help you with your problems. That's not the gospel. It's really another form of idolatry where you use your Jesus idol to get what you want out of life. Meron pa po, mga kapatid. Ito pong tinatawag na postmodern views of this emerging church. Ano po ang kanilang view? It teaches that truth is relative and ultimately unknowable in any certain way. This emerging church also attack the atonement of Christ. It proclaims a tolerant, all-inclusive universalism that does not confront sinners with their need to repent and believe the gospel. Marami pa po, mga kapatid, ito pong mga heresies na ito that are rampant and continue to multiply. Meron pa yung tinatawag the new perspective of Paul, which undermines the justification by faith alone, which is at the heart of the gospel. We have the open theism, which attacks the sovereignty and omniscience of God. Some charismatic movement that preaches a false gospel that promises health, promises wealth to everyone. Roman Catholicism in the Orthodox Church that lure frustrated evangelicals through a message of salvation by ritualism and good works. The cults, dami po dito sa bansa po nating mga kulto. Okay? They have a works-based offer of salvation. Join their religion and you will get saved. Native religion and Eastern religion like Islam salvation through mysticism and works, and the list goes on and on. They multiply. My dear friends, the point that I am making is this. If we are to prepare for war against the attacks of the enemy by having the shoes of the gospel, like what I mentioned last time in my previous preaching, and I already emphasized that today, we must have a good grasp, a hardcore resolve regarding the essentials of the gospel, because Satan's attack is relentless and it is often subtle. And our clear understanding of the gospel will enable us to defend the gospel against errors and heresies that destroys the soul for all eternity. Let us not get so used to the tools that we are using. Kasi sometimes we are so enamored with the tools that we are using, but in reality, hindi po natin talaga na-appreciate, okay, na-appropriate ang essentials of the gospel. Amen po ba, mga kapatid? Parang amen po. Sometimes what happens is this. If there is someone who, like for example, for a wake, di ba? Kailangan pong magtawag ng elder or ng pastor to share doon po sa wake. That's okay. Pero if you know it and you are able, because you know the essentials of the gospel, you can preach it to yourself and to others. By all means, do it. Di ba? Mga kapatid, seryosohin po natin ito. Dahil ito po ang ating weapon, okay, against the enemy. Amen po. Now, for our application, may nakikita po akong dalawang application dito. To be prepared with the shoes of the gospel of peace, first, we apply it to ourselves, okay? To appropriate it personally. We are to remember with sincere humility what it cost God to secure our salvation. Lagi po nating pakaisipin yon. It is the utmost humiliation and death of His Son on that shameful Roman cross. And it begins with seeing sin as God sees sin. To uphold the wholeness of God first and foremost in every aspect of our lives. Because when you do that, you will begin to hate sin. You will begin to loathe sin. And you will do everything to avoid offending the holy God who saved you from eternal damnation. What do I mean by that? We submit to the Lordship of Christ in all aspects of your life, and you live and continue to live a lifestyle of repentance before God. Yan po yung unang application, mga kapatid. Second application. We preach the gospel to ourselves. Easy, di ho ba? Problema pag sumagot yung sarili mo habang tapos dinibati ka ng sarili mo. Okay? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Discipline of Grace, sabi niya po, and I quote, God did not give us His gospel just so we could embrace it and be converted. Actually, He offers it to us every day as a gift that keeps on giving to us everything we need for life and godliness. Yes, my dear friends, ano po ang benefits nito? Preaching the gospel to yourself, intensify your love for God. As you meditate on the loftiness of God's love, it draws you to love Him even more. Amen po ba? Preaching the gospel to yourself quenches your pride. You see, pride leads you to think that you are better than God and others. But if you meditate on the truth that the King of all kings, the Lord of lords, humbled himself to die for you, in spite of you, that will humble you. If that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will humble you. Preaching the gospel to yourself increases your love for others, who also needs the gospel. As you meditate on the grandeur of the gospel, you would want others to hear it, to understand it too. You would want to share the gospel to others because you have found something so wonderful that you cannot contain it, and you want others to have it too. Yan po ang pagmamahal sa iba, mga kapatid. And lastly, as you share the gospel to yourself, it brings peace to your life. The peace of God, which is beyond your understanding, no matter what your circumstances can be. It is called the gospel of peace. Kaya po ang rendering yan, the gospel of peace. Because really, it brings peace. Di ho ba? It brings peace. And this peace that I'm talking about has two aspects. Una po, it brings peace. It brings us peace with God. We know that we are formerly alienated from God because of our sins. We are separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in this world. But Paul goes on to say that the cross of Christ preached peace to us and reconciled us to God. So that right now we have this unhindered access to God. Di ho ba? You see, my dear friends, you cannot fight evil one unless you have God's peace in your heart because you are reconciled to Him through the work of Christ on the cross. Second, the gospel brings us peace with one another. As in Ephesians chapter 2 shows, Christ Himself is our peace in verse 14 of chapter 2. He brought together into one the formerly hostile Jews and us Gentiles, reconciling them both in one body to God through the cross. Yes, my dear brethren, we need to remember that the battle against Satan is not just individual. It is also corporate. We need one another to fight Satan, to fight in the warfare, to fight and defend the attacks of the enemy. Satan is trying to destroy the church. And one way he does it is by creating division and strife over personality clashes or over non-essential doctrinal fights. Kagaya po ngayong election na ito, di ba? A lot of families are divided right now. And churches are divided right now because of their allegiance to some political parties or personalities, di ho ba? Some even threatened to leave the church. And I think Pastor addressed that yesterday sa prayer morning special. No, mga kapatid, we cannot exchange our allegiance to someone who doesn't even die for us, who did not even die for us, to our church. With our relationship with one another. Hindi po, mga kapatid. Because after the election, church continues, di ba? Our relationship as brothers and sisters continues. And it's all for eternity, di ba? What really matters is our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, these politicians that we try to die for, so to speak, okay, will not matter in eternity. Amen po. So yan, if we are not careful, baka yan ang gamitin ng kaaway to sow a seed of division in our church. So maging maingat po tayo dito, mga kapatid. But of course, we should be at peace with all that love the true gospel, yet we are at war with those who pervert it. Okay? My dear brothers and sisters, the gospel not only communicates our need of forgiveness from the penalty of sin, but the gospel also stresses God's ongoing presence for all of us in need of strength in the battle against the power of sin, the attacks of the enemy, and to live a life that glorifies God. Yan po ang ebanghelyo. Kaya mahalin po natin, mga kapatid, ang ebanghelyo. As I end, mga kapatid, the gospel is absolutely necessary for the unbeliever. But it is also necessary for us as believers endeavoring to serve and to live this life for the glory of Christ. It is the central point not only of our justification but also for our progressive sanctification. We need the gospel, mga kapatid. So, may each one of us this morning delight in the gospel, and let us always remember the power of God is contained in the gospel. So the question is, do you have your boots on? Okay? Do you have your boots on? Without them, you are not prepared to stand against to stand firm against the enemy of the gospel. So, appropriate the gospel of peace personally and preach it often to your soul. Talk about it in your family circles, with your friends. Talk about it. Preach it to your own soul as well as to the others who are lost. Because in doing so, you will enjoy God's peace. Amen po ba? You will enjoy God's peace in your soul. Yes, we know this. Heresy is the worst form of cruelty because it concerns the welfare of a soul for all eternity. We need to fight the enemy in his attack against the gospel. Be prepared with the boots of the gospel of peace by understanding the gospel message so that you and I can be grounded on it and defended against error. Amen po? Amen po ba? Can I just ask the worship team? Tantayin po natin yung inawit po natin kanina. Just to rest on the message this morning bago po tayo magtapos sa panalangin.
Tayo po'y tumayo. Panginoon, salamat sa inyong mayamang biyaya sa aming buhay. If it were not because of your grace, we are dead, Lord. But thank you for your saving grace, your unmeasured grace, your grace that is vast, that is free, Lord. Praise unmeasured, vast and free, that knew me from eternity, that called me out before my birth to bring you glory on this earth. God's grace is amazing. Grace amazing, pure and deep, that saw me in my misery, that took my curse and known my blame, so I could bear your righteous name. Grace paid for my sins and brought me to life. Grace clothes me with power to do what is right. Where I'll see your face and never cease to thank you for your grace. Let's continue to thank God for His grace. His grace that is abounding. His grace that is strong and true.
Grace abounding, strong and true, that makes me long to be like you, that turns me from my selfish pride to love the cross on which you died.
Grace unending all my days.
Grace unending all my days. You'll give me strength to run this race. And when my years on earth are true, the praise will all belong to you. Grace paid for my sins and brought me to life. Grace clothes me with power to do what is right. Where I'll see your fame and never cease to.
Let's continue to thank God for His grace.
Grace paid for my sins and brought me to life. Grace clothes me with power to do what is right. Where I'll see your face and never cease to thank you for your grace.
And never cease, Lord.
And never cease to thank you for your grace.
Manalangin po tayo, mga kapatid. David said, Lord, what is man that you are mindful of us? Panginoon, salamat po na kami na mga makasalanan, mga rebelde, laban po sa inyo, Panginoon, who transferred our allegiance to your enemy from you, Lord, ay inabot pa rin po ninyo, Panginoon. Dahil kayo po ay lubos na maawain, Panginoon, at mapagmahal, inabot niyo po kami sa pamamagitan po ng Ebanghelyo, Panginoon. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, you enable us to understand and appreciate the gospel and even the faith to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior. It's also a gift, Lord. So that right now we can stand before you as someone having a personal saving relationship. A relationship that brings peace. A relationship that brings eternal life and security for all eternity. Salamat po, Panginoon, sa inyong mayamang grasya na kami po ay inyong iniligtas sa pamamagitan po ng inyong ebanghelyo. Panginoon, tulungan mo po kami na patuloy na mahalin, Panginoon, ang ebanghelyong ito, ang pananampalatayang ito na inyo pong pinagkatiwala sa amin. At ipaglaban po ito ang kanyang purity, ang kanyang accuracy, Panginoon. Laban po sa mga kaaway po namin who will continue to proliferate as we approach eternity, Lord. At magagawa po namin ito, Panginoon, kung amin po itong pag-aaralan, tatayuan, isa sa buhay, isa sa puso, Panginoon, at ipapahayag. Oh Lord, salamat po, Panginoon, sa pribilehiyong yan. Salamat din po at hindi mo po kami iniwan on our own to do this, but you give us strength through the work of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Salamat po, Panginoon. Lord, patuloy mo pong ipaalala sa amin ang mensahe po ngayong umagang ito, Panginoon. Maraming salamat po sa bawat puso na nakinig dito po sa sanctuaryo at gayon din po, Panginoon, sa online. Salamat po sa inyo. We pray that you will accomplish your purposes, Lord, sa buhay po ng inyong mga anak, sa pamamagitan po ng preaching po na ito. Lord, even as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to give back to you what is due you, Lord O God. Salamat po, Panginoon, sa biyaya na inyong pinagkakaloob sa inyong mga anak, Panginoon, at kami nga po ay nakapagkakaloob. Dalangin po namin na ang proceeds po ng lahat ng ito ay magagamit po lamang sa pagpapalaganap po ng inyong gawain sa pamamagitan po ng aming pong iglesia. Thank you so much, Lord. Maluwalhati ka pong lubos sa aming mga buhay at sa aming pong church. Ito po ang aming dalangin sa pangalan ni Jesus na aming tagapagligtas. Amen at amen. Salamat po, mga kapatid. God bless you po. Please take care.